Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
Today, we celebrate the second Sunday of the Advent season. The season where we acknowledge that Christ has come. Christ is here. Christ is coming again. That seems a simple declaration for any Christian to make. But wait a minute. Maybe it's not so easy to make that profession by faith alone. Many people in our world, many people in our own community, do not believe that Christ has come. They do not believe that Jesus came or that he was certainly the anointed one, the holy one, the one sent by the Father to be our Messiah. There are many people who do not believe that he rose from the grave and is alive today. And there's some. Sadly, there are lots of us in the church who do not live our lives with the expectation that Jesus is coming again. So maybe, just maybe, this is a season of renewal where we can come back to the promises of God. The world we live in is a world that does not share our values, does not share our faith. Too many people believe that we're not really the true representatives of Christ on earth. Too many people. Some people believe that Jesus is nothing but a fraud. Some people believe to such an extent that they proclaim his birth, his death, his ascension into heaven with their entire lives. But there is a conflict with us that we have to acknowledge during this Christmas season. There are many among us, many in our world, many in our culture, many of people that simply do not accept the things we accept. And sometimes our feelings, our anticipations are a mixture. We want the gift of God, what God alone can provide. We want His joy, His peace. We want the abundant life. We want life eternal. But we still want the gifts that we can get from the materialistic world. The gifts that come from needless markup and places like that. God hates a mixture. And yet, there are times when we do not proclaim the birth of Jesus with our words, with our works, with our thoughts. We simply fail. Our attitudes are that of the crowd. We want to join in and enjoy all the creature comforts, ignoring the Creator. That is the challenge of the Advent season. It is a season where we come together to celebrate Christ. The question is Christ in your heart this season? Let's go before Him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You because we know that You are real, that You have come, that You're here with us. You promised to be with us, never to leave us, never to forsake us. When there were two or three of us, you, gathered together in your name, you promised to be right here with us. And we know that you are coming again. Sometimes we don't even say, Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus. We're trying to hold back a portion of our hearts from you, a portion of the rooms in our lives, our playroom, our guest room is ready for you, but not our living room. We certainly need to put out the welcome mat at the hearth of our home for you this year. Father, help us to be more like the ones you want us to be. Cast my words out. They're not worth anything, but Father, your words, I ask you to empower your words today, that you will speak them to each heart here, no matter what language they listen to them in. May it be the language of love. May they hear what you have to say and respond the way you want us to respond. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you would look with me to the 85th Psalm. Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. You have taken away all their wrath. You have turned from your fierceness of your anger. Restore us, O God, to our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not receive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. You know, the psalmist, when he wrote this, he faced a world of frustration. He had an almost hopeless situation. He is coming back from exile. God has driven his people away from their beloved city, the city of Jerusalem, and they are now coming back to that city. And they're running away from all the bad thoughts that they had. Maybe you've had bad thoughts. Maybe you've suffered too. Maybe you are coming back home. Then you can feel a little bit like they felt. They're coming home. They think of Jerusalem as a safe place, as a wonderful place, a place of comfort, a place that they themselves can call home. And yet, when they arrive, they see that their city has fallen into corruption. The houses are in shambles. The streets are populated by thugs and muggers and evil people. There are terrible things that are happening there in their own beloved city. The temple has been torn down. They're looking at that and they're saying to God, God, why won't you restore us? Restore us to the thing that we were waiting for, hoping for, driven to. Won't you restore us now? That is what they're facing. Maybe that's what you're facing too this Christmas. Maybe you're facing a world that you can hardly recognize. Maybe it doesn't look anything like it did last year. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Suddenly the doctor has proclaimed that you have cancer or heart disease. Maybe a loved one has cancer or heart disease. We don't live in a devastated city, but it doesn't mean that we are free from the knowledge of devastation. The shock of the reality that the city had fallen into corruption shattered all this psalmist's dreams, all of his hopes. Everything they looked forward to was suddenly gone. And yet, the psalmist calls out to God. He's arrived home. He feels damned. He feels isolated, hopeless, frustrated. He looks around and sees things that he never believed he would see in his hometown. But he still offers thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is something that he starts out the psalm with. He thanks God for the deliverance from the evil dictator that they were enslaved to. He thanks God for that. He has hope because God has released them from that bondage. He has restored them to who they really are, the free people, His people. But things are not exactly like he thought they would be. He praises God who delivers them from the bondage they have suffered. This God that he praises can once again do what he's done before. He can revive them again. We even write about that in our psalms and in our songs. Revive us again, we say, because we're in constant need of God's revival. He praises God. He knows because his memory is that God, who is all-powerful, has delivered them from the hand of bondage. He has put away the terrible thing they suffered, the anger that they felt. And yet, there's more. There's more than just the remembrance of what once God did for them. That is the Advent promise. The promise of hope. Amid everything that's getting us down, eating us up, stressing us out, there is hope. Hope beyond all the what-ifs, have-dones in the world. Hope is at hand. Sometimes our world equates hope with denial. Oh, they look through with rose-colored glasses. They don't see the world as it really is. They don't understand. They don't put things in perspective. They're just out to lunch. The evidence seems to allow people to say God's not at home. God's not concerned. And on the front page of one of our national newspapers, it says, God can't fix this. Yet the writer of the psalm continues to believe that God can and that God will. God can do anything He wants to. But the psalmist has more than just the answered prayers, the seeking of God that he has talked about in the first portion of the psalm. He has the evidence of God's character. He knows that God is a loving God, that God is full of forgiveness, of mercy and grace. He knows that his God loves them and will not abandon them. The psalmist trusts in the one who has saved him previously, but in addition, he knows that God's promises are based on the character of love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. He knows that. That is the hope of the Advent season. Advent hope is hard for some people to understand, I know. Salvation, love, faithfulness, forgiveness, healing, goodness, justice. Are you kidding me? Look around at our world. Do you see those things in place. Now what we see is kind of like the psalmist sees in his city. We see destruction and terror. We see the disillusion of the family. We see isolation of the elderly. We see all kinds of things that are wrong. Do we see God's promise that things will be right once again? We do not find ourselves in the same place that this man who wrote the psalm found himself. But we can identify. We understand. You've only to turn on the news, the local news or the national news, and there is horror of every kind. Only faith and hope gets us through it. Because otherwise we become depressed, even at Christmas time. I was talking to a man who has taken on the chaplaincy of police, and I was chatting with him about this particular time of year. It's a very hard time of year, because in this time of year, more people commit suicide than any other time of the year. They feel isolated. They feel abandoned. They feel damned. They do not feel the love of God. As a greater the songs and the things that come over the radio and television, the less their present looks like the fond memories they have of the past. It's because they do not focus on Jesus Christ Himself, who never changes, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They don't understand the promises of Advent. But God Himself blesses the psalmist and ourselves, even when the destruction of our families, the isolation of us personally, even when the depression seeps in and all the things seem to be going to hell in a handbasket, we can know that God is right there in the basket with us and we're not going to hell. He's been there already. And He came back, setting the captives free. And our collective memories of answered prayers and all those things, they help reinforce us. They help us get through. But you see, that's a portion of hope that the world doesn't understand. They attack us in everywhere. They even attack the symbols of our faith. The cross. The cross. Are you kidding? The cross that was designed as an implement of mutilation and death for the likes of Jesus. Can there be any hope for you when you're told to pick up a cross? They look at the cross as a failure. God looks at the cross as a sign of victory. The sun's no longer on it, and we're not destined to it, because Jesus paid the one price for all of us once and for all. But even when we face the destruction of our families, the cancer has come in, or heart disease has come in, our loved ones are touched by it, and the collective memories of God's intervention in our lives, the answered prayers, God's love and forgiveness helps us face the future. Because we know that the trials that are set before us, we can face with confidence because of who Christ is. We understand that faith is under attack in our culture. We know that everyone attacks us. That's okay, because the victory is already ours. Jesus won the victory. All we have to do is claim it. That's another one of the promises of the Advent season. Hope. You know, the world looks at hope and they say, you've got to be kidding. You're living in wishful thinking or wish fulfillment. You don't understand. Well, they don't understand hope. Hope doesn't say that you will not face trials and tribulations, that because you have hope in your heart, you won't have cancer in your bodies. It doesn't mean that. Hope means that even when you have cancer in your body, you will be able to go through it. That's what hope is. Hope allows us to face the trials and tribulations of this world as Jesus faced them. You know, we worship here knowing that we could never do the things we saw on Thanksgiving. We could never feed the thousands. But Jesus can. We know that we can never quench the hunger and the needs that people have. We just don't have the finances to do it. But Jesus has. We're gathered here together to know that we live by miracles, God's intervention in our lives. We know that we celebrate this season because God Himself has come in the person of Jesus Christ, and He's coming again. We also know that we can do all things, everything, anything, through Christ that strengthens us. We know that when the doctors say no, the doctors say there's nothing I can do for you. We have a great physician who can still heal you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. We know that. We know that there is nothing we can't face. The cross is empty. It could not hold our Savior. The grave is empty. It could not hold our Savior down. Death itself is defeated. We celebrate the fact that we are eternal beings. We now have new life in us, the life of Jesus Christ. We know that our Savior loves us. And we know that the blood left on the cross gives us hope and strengthens our hope so that we can face anything that comes our way. Power that is generated from that blood on the cross turns our hearts to visible acts of love and sacrifice, especially at this time of year when we're so acutely aware of Jesus and His life. It can transform us all. It can change the world, the hope that is within us. There is hope from a ravaged city that the psalmist talks about. There is hope in a ravaged body that cancer or heart disease may have wrecked. There is hope in a body that is giving out and giving in. There is still hope. There is hope that carries us through the trials and tribulations of our life. There is hope. Hope is at work when the circumstances say no. The transformational power of God says yes. It says yes to mercy. Yes to love. Yes to forgiveness. Yes to you. Christ has come. And the hope that is within us allows us to understand and say with confidence, Christ has come. Christ is here. Christ is coming again. It's not wishful thinking. It's a fact-based truth. God loves you. His anger will not last forever. He is love. And He wants to reunite you with Him. He is calling your name today. Your name. You see, it's very personal with God. There were 100 people that came to know Christ, over 100, on Thanksgiving Day alone in this room where you sit. God knew every name of every person who was sitting here. I would mispronounce their names. God doesn't mispronounce names. God knows. God knew Reina's sister, who was murdered in Mexico just a week ago. God knows you. He knows your pain. He knows your suffering. And He lays before you the hope of the manger. A wonderful song that we heard, from the manger to the cross. Jesus was born for this purpose, to go to the cross, to give you the greatest gift you could ever have, to pay the price for your sin and mine. He's calling. Will you have ears to hear Him today? Or will you turn away? Will you, like the world, say, oh no, he's a fraud, that's just wishful thinking? Or will you be gripped by the power of God and say yes to Jesus today? Will you say, yes, I need to walk down an aisle and proclaim Him before everybody, because there's something about that Jesus says is important. If you proclaim me before men, He says, I will proclaim you before the Father. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. You see, there's a connection. Then there are those of us who have wandered away and mixed our Christmases with all kinds of the world's traditions and all kinds of the world's stuff. We want the world's stuff more than we want the Jesus who was laid in a manger, or the Jesus who has risen from the grave, or the Jesus who is coming again. We want stuff, and we need to get back to God. There may be something in your body or in your heart that you have a need for, that God has impressed you, and the Bible teaches us clearly that if you have any need, come before Christ. Let the elders lay hands on you and anoint you with oil and pray for you. Submit yourself to God. Will you do that today?
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.